This article will be studied during the week of April 6th through 12th. Imitate Jesus' humility and tenderness. Theme text: Christ suffered for you, leaving a model for you to follow his steps closely. 1 Peter 2:21. How would you answer? Why is Jesus worthy of imitation? How can you imitate Jesus in showing humility? How can you imitate Jesus in showing tenderness? Paragraph 1. Question: Why will imitating Jesus draw us closer to Jehovah? We tend to imitate those whose personality and ways we admire. Of all the humans who have walked the earth, no one is more worthy of imitation than Jesus Christ. Why is that? Jesus himself once said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father also." John 14:9. Jesus reflects his Father's personality so perfectly that observing the Son is like seeing the Father. Therefore, as we imitate Jesus, we draw closer to Jehovah, the greatest personage in the universe. What a reward for imitating the qualities and ways of his Son. Paragraphs 2 and 3. Question A. Why did Jehovah provide us with a written portrait of his Son, and what does Jehovah expect us to do? Question B. What will we discuss in this article and in the next? How, though, can we know what Jesus is like? Thankfully, we have an inspired written portrait of Jesus. Jehovah provided that record, as found in the Christian Greek scriptures, because he wants us to become acquainted with his Son so that we can imitate him. 1 Peter 2:21 reads, "In fact, to this course you were called, because even Christ suffered for you, leaving a model for you to follow his steps closely." In the Bible, the example Jesus left is compared to steps or footprints. In effect, Jehovah is telling us to walk behind Jesus and match our steps to his. Of course, Jesus left a perfect example for us, and we are far from perfect. But Jehovah does not expect us to follow Jesus' steps perfectly. Rather, the Father expects us to imitate his Son to the best of our ability as imperfect humans. Let us then consider some of Jesus' appealing qualities. In this article, we will discuss his humility and tenderness. In the next, we will examine his courage and discernment. Regarding each quality, we will answer three questions. What does it mean? How did Jesus exemplify it? How can we imitate him? Jesus is humble. Paragraph 4. Question: How would you define humility? What is humility? In this proud world, some may think that humility suggests weakness or lack of confidence. Often, though, just the opposite is true. Showing humility calls for strength and courage. Humility has been defined as the attitude opposite of pride and arrogance. In the Christian Greek scriptures, the word translated humility may be rendered lowliness of mind. Philippians 2:3, footnote. Humility begins with the way we think about ourselves. Humility is to know how lowly we really are before God, says one Bible dictionary. If we are truly humble before God, we will also refrain from estimating ourselves to be above our fellow humans. It is not easy for imperfect humans to cultivate humility. But we can learn to be humble if we reflect on our standing before God and follow in the footsteps of his Son. Paragraphs 5 and 6. Question A. Who is Michael the archangel? Question B. How did Michael show a humble attitude? How did Jesus demonstrate humility? God's Son has a long record of humility, showing it both as a powerful spirit creature in heaven and as a perfect man on earth. Consider a few examples. His attitude. The Bible writer Jude recorded an example from Jesus' pre-human existence. Jude 9 reads, "But when Michael the archangel had a difference with the devil and was disputing about Moses' body, he did not dare to bring a judgment against him in abusive terms, but said, 'May Jehovah rebuke you.'" As Michael the archangel, Jesus had a difference with the devil and was disputing with that wicked one. The issue involved Moses' body. Recall that after Moses died, Jehovah buried the body in an unknown location. Perhaps the devil wanted to use Moses' remains to promote false worship. Whatever evil purpose the devil had in mind, Michael took a courageous stand. One reference work notes that the Greek terms rendered "had a difference" and "disputing" are also used in relation to a legal dispute and may suggest that Michael challenged the devil's right to take Moses' body. Yet, the chief angel recognized that it was not his place to bring judgment. Rather, he referred the case to the supreme judge, Jehovah. Michael thus refrained from overstepping his authority even under provocation. What a humble attitude! Paragraph 7, question. How did Jesus show humility in his speech and in his actions? During his earthly ministry, Jesus spoke and acted in ways that revealed genuine humility. His speech. He never called undue attention to himself. Instead, he directed all glory to his Father. He never talked down to his disciples or made them feel inferior. Rather, he dignified them, praising them for the good he saw in them and expressing his confidence in them. His actions. Jesus chose to live in humble circumstances, unencumbered by many material things. He willingly performed the most menial of tasks. He outstandingly showed humility by his obedience. Philippians 2:5-8 reads, "Keep this mental attitude in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he was existing in God's form, gave no consideration to a seizure, namely, that he should be equal to God. No, but he emptied himself and took a slave's form and became human. More than that, when he came as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Yes, death on a torture stake." Unlike arrogant individuals who disdain obedience, Jesus humbly submitted to God's will for him, becoming obedient to the point of death. Is it not clear that Jesus, the Son of Man, was lowly in heart? Matthew 11:29. Imitate Jesus' humility. Paragraphs 8 and 9, question. How can we demonstrate humility? How can we imitate Jesus in demonstrating humility? Our attitude. Humility restrains us from overstepping our authority. If we recognize that we are not authorized to sit in judgment, we will not be quick to criticize others for their faults or question their motives. Humility helps us to avoid being overly righteous, looking down on those who may not have the abilities or privileges that we have. Humble elders do not view themselves as superior to fellow believers. Rather, such shepherds consider others superior and conduct themselves as lesser ones. Philippians 2:3. Consider W.J. Thorne, who served as a pilgrim or traveling overseer starting in 1894. After many years in that work, he was called to Kingdom Farm in upstate New York and worked in the hen house. He said, "Whenever I get to thinking a great deal of myself, I take myself into the corner, so to speak, and say, 'You little speck of dust, what have you got to be proud of?'" A humble attitude indeed. Isaiah 40:12-15 reads, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and taken the measurements of the heavens with a span of his hand? Who has gathered in a measure the dust of the earth, or weighed the mountains in the balances, and the hills in the scales? Who has taken the measurements of the Spirit of Jehovah, and who can instruct him as his adviser? With whom did he consult to gain understanding? Or who teaches him in the path of justice, or teaches him knowledge, or shows him the way of true understanding? Look, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and as the film of dust on the scales they are regarded. Look, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. Paragraph 10. Question. How can we show humility in our speech and in our actions? Our speech. If we are truly lowly in heart, our words will reflect humility. In conversations with others, we will avoid focusing on our own achievements and privileges. Instead, we will look for the good in our brothers and sisters and commend them for their positive qualities, abilities, and accomplishments. Our actions. Humble Christians are not interested in seeking prominence in this system. They would rather lead a simple life, even doing what the world might consider menial work, so that they can serve Jehovah to the fullest extent possible. Above all, we can show humility by our obedience. It takes lowliness of mind to be obedient to those who are taking the lead in the congregation and to accept and follow the direction we receive from Jehovah's organization. Hebrews 13:17. Jesus is tender. Paragraph 11. Explain the meaning of tenderness. What is tenderness? The word tender is defined as marked by responding to or expressing the softer emotions. Tenderness is a facet of love and is akin to such softer emotions as compassion and mercy. The scriptures refer to tender compassion, tender mercies, and tender affection. Regarding the scriptural call for compassion, one Bible reference work says, "That call is more than an appeal for us to feel with and for the needy. It is a call to care enough to become involved and to help by taking some action that will set others' lives on a fresh new course." Tenderness is a motivating force. A tender person is moved to make a difference in the lives of others. Paragraph 12. Question. What shows that Jesus felt tender compassion for others, and what did his tenderness move him to do? How did Jesus show tenderness? His tender feelings and actions. Jesus felt tender compassion for others. When he saw his friend Mary and those with her weeping over the death of her brother Lazarus, Jesus openly gave way to tears. John 11:32-35 reads, "When Mary arrived where Jesus was and caught sight of him, she fell at his feet and said to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he groaned within himself and became troubled. He said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" Jesus gave way to tears. Then, likely stirred by heartfelt pity, just as when he raised a widow's son, he resurrected Lazarus. By means of that tender act, Jesus may have put Lazarus in line to receive life in heaven. On an earlier occasion, Jesus felt tender affection for a crowd that came to him. Impelled by compassion, he started to teach them many things. Mark 6:34, Kingdom Interlinear. What a life-changing experience that was for any who responded to his teachings. Note that Jesus' tenderness was more than a feeling. It moved him to take the initiative to help others. Paragraph 13. Question. In what way did Jesus speak tenderly to others? His tender words. Jesus' tender heart moved him to speak tenderly to others, especially to the downtrodden. The Apostle Matthew applied to Jesus these words of Isaiah: "No crushed reed will he break, and no smoldering wick will he extinguish." Isaiah 42:3. Jesus spoke in a way that lifted the spirits of those who were figuratively like a bruised reed or the wick of an oil lamp about to go out. He preached a message of hope to bind up the brokenhearted. Isaiah 61:1. He invited those who were toiling and loaded down to come to him, reassuring them that they would find refreshment for themselves. Matthew 11:28-30. He assured his followers that God had tender concern for each of his worshipers, including the little ones, those who may seem unimportant from the standpoint of the world. Imitate Jesus' tenderness. Paragraph 14. Question: how can we cultivate tender feelings for others? How can we imitate Jesus in showing tenderness? Our tender feelings. Such emotions may not come naturally to us, but the Bible urges us to work at cultivating them. The tender affections of compassion are part of the new personality that all Christians are expected to put on. Colossians 3:9-10 read, "Do not lie to one another. Strip off the old personality with its practices and clothe yourselves with the new personality, which, through accurate knowledge, is being made new according to the image of the one who created it." Verse 12 reads, "Accordingly, as God's chosen ones, holy and loved, clothe yourselves with the tender affections of compassion, kindness, humility, mildness, and patience." How can you cultivate tender feelings for others? Open your heart wide. Listen carefully when someone shares his feelings and concerns. Use your imagination and ask yourself, "If I were in his situation, how would I feel? What would I need?" Paragraph 15, question: what can we do to help those who may be like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick? Our tender actions. Tenderness moves us to want to make a difference in the lives of others, especially those who may be like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick. How can we help them? Weep with those who weep, says Romans 12:15. Downhearted ones may need empathy more than answers. One sister who felt comforted by fellow believers after the loss of her daughter says, "I appreciated it when friends came over and just cried with me." We can also show tender affection by doing kind deeds. Do you know of a widow who needs help with repairs on her home? Is there an elderly Christian who needs transportation to get to the meetings, to go out in the ministry, or to go to the doctor? Even a small act of kindness can make a big difference in the life of a fellow worshiper in need. Above all, we can show tender concern for others by having a full share in the ministry. There is no greater way to make a difference in the lives of honest-hearted ones. Paragraph 16, question: what can we say to encourage those who are depressed? Our tender words. Our tender affection for others moves us to speak consolingly to those who are depressed. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. What can we say to encourage such ones? We can lift their spirits by expressing our genuine care and concern for them. We can offer sincere commendation to help them see their positive qualities and abilities. We can remind them that Jehovah drew them to his Son, so they must be precious in his eyes. We can reassure them that Jehovah deeply cares for his servants who are brokenhearted or crushed in spirit. Psalm 34:18. Our tender words can have a healing effect on those who need comfort. Paragraphs 17 and 18, question A: Jehovah expects the elders to treat his sheep in what way? Question B. What will we discuss in the next article? Elders, Jehovah expects you to treat his sheep with tenderness. Remember, it is your responsibility to nourish, encourage, and refresh his sheep. Hence, an elder who is tenderly compassionate does not try to control the sheep, making rules or using guilt to pressure them to do more when their circumstances do not permit them to. Rather, he endeavors to bring joy to their hearts, trusting that their love for Jehovah will move them to serve him as fully as possible. As we reflect on Jesus' humility and tenderness, we are surely moved to keep on walking in his footsteps. In the next article, we will discuss two more aspects of Jesus' appealing personality: courage and discernment. How would you answer? Why is Jesus worthy of imitation? How can you imitate Jesus in showing humility? How can you imitate Jesus in showing tenderness? End of article.